this morning as we talk about honor your mother and father, or child seat required. Go ahead and take your seat belts, put them on, because here we go. It's time to put our seat belts on. You know, I love the click it or ticket. I think it's a good thing to put seat belts on, and if you're in a vehicle with me, you probably know this, or you'll hear it from at least my 8-year-old gets it. Dad, put your seatbelt on. Now, I'm usually very good about putting my seatbelt on. In fact, I will pull the car over if we start pulling out and we just get going, and I'll look in the mirror, and if I see someone doesn't have a seatbelt on, I'll stop the car and say, we're not going anywhere until you get your seatbelt on. That's a lot different than when I grew up. When I grew up, my parents had this old Cutlass Supreme, 2-door. And I say that because on the back, I remember there was this little hump on the floor between, you know, the floorboard area. And I remember as a kid sitting down there or laying down there. I don't know if some of you remember that. It didn't seatbelts. What was a seatbelt? Some of you can kind of relate to that. Or you'd even crawl up in the back window. Some of you are nodding your head. You've done that. You wouldn't fit these days, but you remember doing that. And nobody drove around going, look at those parents. The kids are in the back window, or in the back end of a truck. You'd have 8 kids driving around town. And you never thought about it. Now you don't even let your pet back there. The pets are in the front seat, you know? I just remember that as a kid. Now, I will say this. We have saved a lot of lives by learning how to put a seatbelt on. It is a very, very good thing. And this morning, when we talk about the fill-in station, I want to talk about child safety seat required. Child safety seats are required. It's important that we do that. In fact, the child safety seat, my daughter, who keeps getting older and older, I think when she was a little baby, she thought as she got to be a couple years of age, you know, she moved out of that little baby seat that you have to, you know, strap in, strap around, snap down, make sure this thing was right and that thing was right and turn the right way and not the front seat because you had the airbag, so you couldn't have that in, that launcher into the back seat, you know, you couldn't have all that stuff. Then she got older and she got into one of these little seats. Now, they came out last year with this new one, so we had to go out and buy another child safety seat. She's 8 years old, and I think she's pretty tired of this thing. But it picks her up because, you know, the seat belts aren't the right height. And that's the problem. They build these things for something else. Can you guys shut that off? It's doing some strange things. There's maybe people coming in the wrong door. They boost them up, and they lift them up to get up to a different height, so that they're safe and everything fits well. Well, that's what God is saying in this scripture. He's saying it's important, Christians. It's important, mom and dad. It's important, kids, that we lift them up. In fact, the word honor means to lift up to a rightful place, to respect, to honor, to exalt, to esteem highly. It's important that we put on these seat belts. And so this morning, kids, younger kids that live at home with parents, honor your mother and father. It is the only commandment. It's not just the first commandment. It's the only commandment with a promise. It says you will live long. That's a great promise. Sounds like something my dad would say. You want to live long in this house? You'll obey me. We're going to jump into it. I want to talk to you about that seat. That seat. That child safety seat. The first thing about that seat is it's an honor seat. It uses the word honor. Honor is an amazing word, isn't it? We honor people. Kids get on the honor roll, which means they've done well, so they're esteemed higher. They're lifted up because of their grades. We honor guests. When somebody comes in, to have an honored guest means that it's the most important person in the room. We should honor guests. Wouldn't it be great if coming in this room right now, I mean, we would honor that. If somebody came in here, you know, maybe the President of the United States, we would be honored for them to take time out of their schedule. Maybe, I don't know, from the Detroit Tigers, maybe Magdy Ordóñez would come and say, I'm going to go to Grace today. I would be honored. Well, maybe somebody else. I don't know. Maybe someone from the Detroit Lions. Okay, maybe somebody else. Maybe from the Michigan Wolverine. Wait. Okay, I would be honored. We honor guests, though. When people come in, we honor them. We honor guests in our lives. And that's what he's saying. Honor your mother and father. Well, to honor our mom and dad, we need to learn what honor means. It means to lift up. And so we teach our kids to honor the presence. I am honored by your presence. You might be having a birthday party or something, and someone shows up, and you're like, I'm so honored. I can't believe you came. I'm honored by your presence. How about this? I'm honored by people who are older than me. We honor our elders, those that are older than us. Now, we live in a society that doesn't do that so well, do we? Don't we? We honor our military. I am so honored. And the military people are honored in our lives. So honor is an amazing thing. In fact, I love to hear these stories about a soldier that'll maybe take his wife and kids out to eat, and he's in full uniform, and they'll go to a restaurant, and he's serving our country, and somebody will come up and say, I would like to, and you hear these stories all the time, I'd like to pay for your meal. Thank you for serving. I want to honor you. Maybe some of you have done that for some military people. Maybe you've done that for a senior citizen or just somebody in a room. You just thought, you know what, I'm going to honor this person. And you just went over and said, hey, bring me their bill. And don't tell them who, but I'd like to pay for their bill. And you just honored someone. So that's what honor means. And so the Bible says, children, how do you honor your parents? We need to show them honor. We need to teach them to honor their parents. Honor is an amazing thing. I mean, kids probably don't walk into the room like they would with a celebrity or someone else, or, you know, but we should be teaching this honor of when they walk in the room going, Mom, Dad, I am so honored to be here. I can't believe you're my parents. And at what age does honor stop? Well, honor your parents, your mother and father, simply means until you're 18 years old, and then we don't honor them anymore. Well, the Bible is very clear. It says, you know what? You ought to honor people. This is an important thing in life. God never gives the rule without a reason. And he says, I want you to honor people. In our family, we've tried to teach honor, our kids to honor. And so there's a few things that we've done. For instance, we try to teach our kids to honor their mom. You know, I said, honor your mom. She bakes and she makes this meal. And we try to make sure that whoever's making the meal, whether it's mom or dad, and anyone in their life, when you go somewhere and someone's taking the time to make you a meal, you know what you ought to do? You ought to wait till they're done sitting down and they're the first one served. Because they took their time to serve you, we should honor them. They ought to be the first one to eat. After you've eaten, then we'll pass it around after we pray, because we want to honor you. Thank you for making that meal. That's just a small thing that we can do. Now, on a bigger scale, I try to teach my kids to honor other people. The golden guest, we call it. Just to have someone else in your life, to get a door for them. In fact, it was cute this morning, and I've tried to teach all my boys and my girls. And the boys are really good about it. We'll go to the mall, and they'll get up to a door, and they'll grab a door, and they'll start to open it for their mom, their dad, their brothers and sisters even. It's not like, okay, Mom, Dad, you're in. Hey, you guys are on your own. They don't do that. In fact, they'll look, and if there's somebody walking up, they'll just stand there, and they'll hold it. And I think that's great. And so many people stop and go, wow, you just don't see this that often these days. And you don't. You really don't. In fact, there's many times I've walked into buildings, and I'll go, and I'll see somebody there. And as I'm going up, now I think I'm an elder. I think I should be honored. I'm an elder to some people, and other people are my elders. I'm kind of right there in that middle place. But I'll see some young people, and they'll go, and they'll open a door up, and I'll make my way towards that door, and you know what'll happen? They slam the door, and I go, hey, no problem. I remember last year when I had my surgery, and I had the cast on for several months, and I had my crutches, and I'd get up to a door at a mall or something, and I kept thinking, oh, good, you know, somebody's got the door. They'd open the door, and they'd go right on in, and it shut right behind them. I thought, hey, cripple here. Hello? Get the door. I think it's wonderful to see young men and women when they go up to a door and they grab that door and they're looking, their mind is looking, going, how can I honor someone right now? Whenever I get to a door, it ought to be the thought of my mind of, I wonder if there's someone coming in I can honor. My daughter this morning, she's 8 years old. It was so cute. We were coming in. I had my hands full. My wife had her hands full. And brothers and sisters, we're coming in. There's a couple behind us for the 9 o'clock service. And we're walking in. And my 8-year-old daughter grabs the door first. She gets right on up there. And she's got her little Webbekin doggy. And she's trying to get in and show everybody. She stops at the door. I know she's excited to get in to show everybody her cute little birthday present. And she grabs the door and she opens it up. I thought she's just going to run right in. That's what 8-year-olds do. She stopped. She opened it and she let people in. She stood there. As I got up to the door, I said, you can go in now, honey, because I wanted to honor her. And she goes, no, Daddy, you go ahead. I said, thank you. You are such a gentle person. Thank you for honoring. And I walked in. And I thought, you know, an 8-year-old, how wonderful to see little kids that learn that. But we teach that, and those are small things. One of the things I learned in growing kids God's way is that we honor people. We ought to treat everybody as a guest. In fact, when he says, honor your mother and father, we ought to, he's kind of starting here going, you ought to honor the most important people in your life. They gave you life. And then everybody else comes under that. But it doesn't mean neglect everybody else. It's saying you start here, but honor everybody. Isn't it great when people esteem you? It's just a wonderful thing when you feel honored. Me, I'm the guest. I get the seat. Oh, here, take my ticket. Oh, that's the last piece of chicken. Here, you go ahead and take it. Really. It's just honoring. You're exalting them. You're doing unto others. It almost sounds like a scripture. As you would have them do unto you. But the tendency of that golden rule tends to be this. He who has the gold makes the rule. Tell you what, I'll do unto myself and get out of my way. And you see that so often. And I say honor. My kids, when they were younger, we learned this in growing kids God's way. Is, and you'll see this in my family. And then one of the guys in first service came to me in the hallway, and he did this out in the foyer. And I didn't know what he was doing. And I almost turned around and go, let go of me. My kids, when I'm talking to someone, they know that the rule is to honor those that we're talking to say, instead of running up, and you see this sometimes, you know, when you're having a conversation, maybe this has happened to you. And they come run up, hey, dad, hey, dad, I want to do that. And the other person standing right in mid-sentence going, okay. And that's very rude to interrupt. And so we have what's called the interrupt rule. And we learn this. This isn't our own invention, and you can use this. And our kids will come up, and if they see us talking to someone, they'll come up and they'll put their hand on our arm or our shoulder. And what that means is this. Dad, I know that you're talking to someone, and they're very important, and I'm honoring them. So I'm not going to interrupt because they're important. Now, I know, understand this, my kids are number one in my life. I don't care who I'm talking to. They are number one. But they also understand that unless it's an emergency, they are to honor others. So when they come running up, they're not to come up and interrupt. And what they do by putting their hand there is I'll reach over and I'll place my hand on theirs. And that's a signal. They do this to tell me, I'm here, I have something. When you get a minute, would you please turn to me? And that way they're honoring that person next to me. And so I'll put my hand there to let them know without ever missing a beat. I'll put my hand there and that says to them, hey, my dad knows I'm here. He's replying to me, kind of the old-fashioned text messaging, okay? So I'm having my conversation and never interrupting. And so I'll put my hand there and they'll go, okay, as soon as you get a minute, as soon as I get a break, I'll turn and say, yes, what can I do? Dad, I was just wondering. And that is so respectful to that person. And they're learning to honor other people. My daughter in kindergarten, one of my girls, she was doing this, and the teacher didn't know the rule. And the teacher was talking to some of the kids, and my daughter went up and put her hand on the teacher's arm. And the teacher slapped her arm away. And my daughter just kind of went, and so she did this again. And boom, she got disciplined again. And so she did a third time, and the teacher turned and said, would you knock that off? Quit touching me. And she started crying. Because her heart was just, I'm trying to be polite here and not interrupt another student. Well, we had parent-teacher conferences not long after that, and we heard this story about how our daughter was rude because she kept doing this to the teacher. We said, oh, no. And we explained the rule to the teacher, and the teacher, she felt horrible. She goes, oh, that's wonderful. She was trying to be polite. Can I do that and implement that in my class? Absolutely. Take it. It's yours. What a great thing to teach our children to respect other people, to honor them, to go, oh, I know how important you are. You know what? We ought to do that. I have to tell you, I can't watch some of these talk shows in the morning on my day off. I'll turn on and just the other day, I flipped on one. And there were these four ladies, and it was, maybe you watch this so I won't hurt your feelings and tell you what it is, but I was watching The View, and I'm telling you, I don't watch this thing, but there were these four ladies, I couldn't even tell you their names. They were just screaming, and then they said, well, what do you think about this? And then their guest was trying to say something, and then they're like, wah, 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 and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm getting a headache. It was garbage. They were rude. And they put these people on TV. And I thought, don't be rude when someone else is speaking, or don't speak until spoken to. The idea of being polite and honoring other people. You are the golden guest. Honor seat. Learn that, you know, that child's seat is more than just to save their life. It's an honor seat. It's to lift them up. It's to lift them up so things work. And I say, maybe some of us as adults might want to say, do we need to honor our parents or honor our Heavenly Father by saying, I'm going to honor Him, that God Himself I can honor in my life. Don't interrupt. It's such an easy thing. Open doors. Wait till someone else is served and then be served. What a great way to live. I think this country would be fantastic if people would just honor other people above themselves. And that's what he's saying. Honor. Honor. By obeying these things, honor your father and mother. And that's the first part. Honor. See, the second part, I love this. This is the first rule. This is the first commandment in the Bible with a rule. It says, by doing so, you will have long life. This is called the safety seat. The reason we have these seats is so that we can buckle up and be safe. The reason that God said this rule, honor your mom and dad so you can live a long time. It's true. My dad used to say that all the time. That's where the cliche came from. I brought you in this world. I can. That's fathering 101. How come every dad knows that rule? It doesn't matter where you go. I brought you into this world. I can take you out of this world. Father, my dad used to have that rule. It's a safety seat. Obey your parents. Honor them. Because that's just safe. Okay? When you disobey, it's like going 80 miles an hour without a seatbelt on. Somebody's in trouble. My dad used to have this belt. And I say he had this belt because I could have used it the other day. I was at the park with my daughter, my littlest one, and it's been such a beautiful day. So we went out to Pine Grove, watched the ships, went on the slides and the swings, and these two little boys were there with their mom, and they were 5 and 2, and these kids were non-stop yelling back at their mom. And one little boy got a hold of a stick, and he was hitting all the kids on the playground. I'm just smacking them. Oh, he got a stick again. I'm going, yeah. Yeah, and he goes for my daughter, whack, and he hits her, I'm right there to the swing set. Hey, put that thing down. Would you put this, and the mom, would you put it down, please? I'm like, yeah. And he does that. He likes sticks. And then the other one picked up rocks and started throwing them at kids. And she goes, well, they don't tend to listen. I'm going, and I know this lady. I've met her before, so I knew her, and we were talking. And I'm just going, man, I know what that stick is good for. And now you report me all you want. You know what? I don't care. Because I know why God created switches. Trust me. My dad had a patent on them. But he had a belt. It was a beautiful belt. The Bible says, spare the rod, you spoil the child. It says in the Scripture, a man who loves his children disciplines his kids. A father who does not discipline his kids hates his children. That's what the Bible says. So when it says in here there's a rule, it says put your seatbelt on, kids. Obey mom and dad. It's a good rule to snap that thing. Because if you don't, guess what? You won't have a long life if you don't obey mom and dad. My dad had this rule. You didn't obey him, he made his belt sing. And the sergeant had a beautiful cop belt. He had one of those big, thick belts you can strap the mace, the handcuffs, the gun, the ammo, all that stuff. Now, when he had that thing stripped down, it was just a big leather belt with a lot of holes in it, which means it could sing. He'd pull that right on out of his belt loops, and as it traveled through those belt loops, it sang songs. Another one bites the dust. My favorite one was just the whole, I grew up with the whole Clint Eastwood, and he thought he was, and he'd make that, he'd walk in, what'd you do? I disobeyed. Meet me in the room. And we'd go in the back room, and he'd say, okay, now stand there, hands up, turn around, oh no, and I'd hear that thing, wah, 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 and then it would sing. I thought, oh, not the belt. I'm telling you what, safety rules are there for a reason. Put your safety belt on so that you don't get the other belt on. There's a reason that we are to click it or tick it. There's a reason that God said, here's the rule. In fact, I want to show you a scripture, and you'll thank me to tell you that God doesn't go by this anymore. But turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy 21. This is an incredible scripture about safety. It's one of the first books of the Bible. It's one of the first things. Deuteronomy was the giving of the law in the Bible. It's what Moses got on the mountain. It is one of the big rules. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Kids, you'll want to pay, you know, sometimes people say, hear me when I'm saying this. Hear me when I'm saying this, okay? This is an important rule. Chapter 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, any takers? Who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him. His father and mother shall take hold of him. Let me stop right there. When I talked to this lady, look up here. When I talked to this lady in the park, I didn't tell her what to do. I didn't give her any advice on how to discipline. I just stood there and just watched her as she chased these kids up the circular slide because they ran away from her as she was screaming at them because other kids are now crying. She said, I can't spank them. They just laugh at me. I said, you're not spanking them hard enough. I'm serious. They're laughing at you when you discipline them or time out. Oh, if I put them in time out, they just laugh at me. Listen to what God said in the Old Testament. If the child doesn't obey the father and mother and will not listen to them when they are disciplined, his father and mother shall take hold of him. If you read the Hebrew there, the English is take hold of. Come on, little child of disobedience. That's not what it is. Grab them by the shirt collar and say, we're going out to the barn. It means to grab a hold of, to make sure you got them collared. That's what it says. Because they're already not obeying, they're already disciplining, and they're already not obeying the discipline. And I don't know if you've ever had kids do that where you've had to restrain them. Or you said, there's nothing else to do. That was this lady in the park. Look at what it says. They are to take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. Okay, kids, we don't go by that rule anymore. Amen? I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I was a profligate, which means a wild child. I would have had a very short life if the Old Testament were still in force today. There would be no children. It would be a city of adults, very few of us. I'm thinking, how did these guys with the stones get by? But it's not just talking about kids who are bad. It's talking about rebellious kids who don't heed instructions. You have nothing. They put them to death. Imagine what that did. The scripture then goes on to say, then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge evil from you. All Israel will hear of this and be afraid. Could you imagine if kids today had that rule? Oh, what happened to him? He disobeyed his parents and then he didn't obey their discipline. He's gone. You think kids are going to have a different... You know, there are countries in our world who still go by this law. Not Israelites. There are other nations who have taken this up. They will kill their children for disobedience. They do that all over the place. It happens on a daily basis. This isn't a unique thing. And he says, don't have kids like that. So what does God say? Here's the safety seat. The safety seat is, you got to click it or you're done. He's saying, I've got a rule. You ought to honor your mom and dad. You ought to obey your parents. And kids don't grow up going, I think when I grow up, I'm just going to break every rule my mom and dad have. We need to honor our parents and have a safety seat. I couldn't believe it when these kids, she said, my kids laugh at me. I tell you, if my kids laughed at me, I'm going for the soap. It's hard to laugh when you're gurgling Dove. If my kids laugh when they're spanked, they must like it. I will make sure they enjoy it. Now you say, that's terrible. I will make sure that my children are corrected and they need to have the reason behind the rule. I don't just say, this is why you should do this, or this is what you should do and do it, period. If my kids just stand and hold doors open, or they go, I'll listen and I'll obey you, but you don't have their heart, you don't have that child. You might as well not discipline them. You don't have that child. You want the heart of a child. You don't want the obedience of a child. Obedience, you can get a kid to sit in a seat for an hour and time out. But you may never get that child's heart, because they'll sit there that whole time and go, I'll sit here, but trust me, I don't like it and I'm not listening. You can have them sit there for 2 hours, and kids will get up and they'll be the same child before they went to that seat, and they'll do the same thing. That's not what you want from the child. What you want from the child is the heart of that child. You want them to honor you. You want them to go, thank you, I love you. There needs to be a reason behind the rule. You need to explain to them, if you honor me, you will be honored. It's amazing to me that we live in a country that talks about rules and doesn't enforce them. We live with a government who spends money and then tells you you're overspending. There is no honor in that. No wonder why the Bible goes on in Ephesians to say this. Fathers, and I'll give you the Greek here, don't exasperate your kids. Kids, if you've ever been exasperated, it's been because of one reason. It means to breed resentment. Here's resentment. The first time I smoked as a kid, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I smoked about 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes with my buddy from across the street in my backyard. I got caught by my mom, who brought me to my father. Take me to jail where it's safe. To my father, as I stood before my father, he said, you are in so much trouble. I got disciplined. Then he asked the question, where did you get the cigarettes? And I said, from you. I stole them from you. I took them from your carton that you have in the den. My father was a smoker his whole life. Nothing wrong if he's going to smoke, but then why punish me? Because I'm looking at my father going, I want to honor you. You are my father, my mother. You're heroes in my life. I honor, and this is what you do. So therefore, that is what I did. We live in a government who says, citizens, don't overspend. Don't get in debt. Don't do this. We've got a $2 trillion deficit every year. We have legislatures who pass laws who are exempt from the very laws that they pass. And if I ask you, are you exasperated? Do you have a resentment? Do you think people have a resentment towards our congressmen and senators, our government? Absolutely. The approval rating is down in the toilet because everybody's so frustrated because there's rules and laws that nobody's living by. If they're good enough for us, they ought to be good enough for our government. Listen, folks, if they're good enough for mom, if they're supposed to be good enough for me, they ought to be good enough for my mom and dad. Mom, dad, live by the rules. Don't frustrate and get your kids resenting because you don't live the very rules that you enforce. So important. And then finally this. By the way, it is a safety thing. It is a safety thing. And you can, the last thing, you can train, it's a training seat. It's a safety seat, but it's a training seat. Train up a child in the way that they should live. Train a child. Train a child. That means over and over and over. Parents, I got 5. I know where you're at. Whether you got 1, 2, 10, I know where you're at. Because you have done this over and over and over, and you've said it a million times, and you say these things. Are you understanding what I am saying? You got to keep going. You got to train, training, 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 honor, training. I remember I trained a girl to honor me. My first youth group, I did things. If my youth pastor did that today, I'd probably fire him. My first church, I was the youth pastor. I was everybody's buddy, but I had this girl in my youth group. She was a little outgoing. We were driving to a college to a Christian concert, and we had the 15-passenger church van, and she was back a couple of bench seats, and she kept reaching up, and she kept smacking me on the head as I was driving. I was driving along. She just thought she'd just smart off. She said something, and she reached over the seats, and she just reached up, and she popped me on the back of the head. I went, whoa! And I'm looking, I said, hey! Don't touch the driver. And she thought it was funny. And she kept doing this. I said, stop doing that. I don't know what got in her crawl, but she kept hitting me. And I thought, I need to teach her a lesson. And this is where brake checks were born. We're driving down the road, first time I ever did it. And she's, now, like I said, I wouldn't want, if I hear about this stuff, it's not safe. But it is training. She wasn't learning. As we're going along, she reaches up. I can see her in the rearview mirror. A couple seats back, she's starting to get up, and she's coming up to hit me again. And I said, brake check, boom, and I hit the brakes. She did her best Superman right over those seats. She came flying right by me in her brown bomber jacket. I reached out to try to grab her, but it was too late. She went, boom, right into the dashboard. She turned around, and I'm sure she saw birds circling. And I said, are you okay? She went, oh. The kids in the back are laughing. They're loving it. Do it again. And I looked at her and I said, you should wear your safety belt. And she looked up and she's like, okay. I said, now go back there and put your seatbelt on. Now, I don't advocate that. But I guarantee you, she learned her lesson. Because there are many people who are saying, I am not going to do and obey. I'm not going to honor and do this. And I'm saying God gave this this rule for a reason. Put your seatbelt on. Obey your parents. There's some good things. Obey God. Honor God. We try to teach some things in our family. We try to teach some things in our family about honor. We try to teach some things about in our family about honoring God in our lives. I don't know what you honor in your life. But the first thing we ought to do is we ought to honor God. We ought to honor Him. And then we ought to honor country, and we ought to honor family. Not in that order necessarily, but these are things that we ought to honor. In our home, we try to honor family. We try to tell the kids, we honor those in our family. And so when Grandpa and Grandma come over, everything shuts down. We will honor Grandpa and Grandma. They are the ones who began this whole thing. We will honor them. They are very special people, and they have a rightful place in our lives. We try to honor and make sure that we honor in our lives the flag. Our country. I am so thankful. Let me just say for a minute. I'm so thankful to be an American. I'm going to get off on a sidebar for just a minute. I'm so tired of people who are disrespecting this country. Do you know that there are people who are dying to get into this country because this is the greatest nation on earth? I don't care what people say to dishonor. Maybe we don't have honor right now because we dishonor the very country that we live in. And I'm going to say this. I believe that it's important for us to honor and be thankful for the things that God has given us. There are people in Cuba that will get on a piece of wood to float 90 miles to get to this country. There are people in Africa that are dying to get here. People in Mexico coming across this border to try to be a part of this great nation. It's got to be a great country. And so people complain, oh, we live in a horrible country. This is terrible. And I say, you know what? I am honored and privileged to be an American citizen, to live in this country. It is an honor. No matter what's happening, I can always start my life over. No matter what's happening, I have the freedom to start a church if I want to. I have the freedom to move to any of 50 states if I want to. I am honored to be an American citizen. I am honored to be here. And when people talk about not being honored, it takes me back to the whole thing. Honor your mother and father. Well, my mothers and my fathers were people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patton, other people, and Abraham Lincoln, Betsy Ross. These are people in our lives that we ought to honor. I am so thankful for the sacrifice that they made. I learned honor the hard way. When I was in high school, me and a buddy, I could care less about our country. I could care less about my family. I did things. My parents didn't want me doing certain things. I did them, and I did them to the extreme. And I close with this. My mom and dad did not raise me to disrespect elders. They didn't raise me to steal. They didn't raise me to get drunk and drive. And one night, while I was doing all of this, I wasn't honoring. I'm lucky I didn't die. A short life by disobeying. I remember one night driving around with a guy named Bruce from high school. And we stole every American flag in our town. We got all 9 of them in Ipswich, South Dakota. And we were doing things we shouldn't have been doing. And we just thought it'd be hilarious to steal everyone's American flag. So we did. We stole everyone's American flag. I had them down in my basement, some of them, and I had them pinned up on the wall, and I had one hanging as a doorway. I had some just shoved underneath the bed. Well, somebody in a senior citizen's home saw me at 3 in the morning, at least the car, and they got the license plate, and they called the sheriff. And the sheriff was my uncle. He came out to the farm, and he came up. He says, did you and Bruce steal these things? Yes, we did. Just a bunch of flags. Oh, well, nobody's going to press charges for for stealing just a bunch of flags. But here's what you're going to do. Oh, yeah, we got to replace him, right? No. No, there's one gentleman that would like you to come over. He'd like to talk with you. And so we went to this. I went alone. I went to this house, this old, beautiful Victorian home, brick, of red brick. I still remember. I can still see the house. I can still see the living room. As I walked in thinking, okay, I'm going to go talk to some old guy. I had no respect of honor. I walked into that house, and that gentleman said, I'd like you to sit down. I'm going to talk to you. And I had to. This was my basic court order. As I sat down and talked to this gentleman, he told me how he was a World War II veteran, how he had fought side by side and watched hundreds of men die, and he could do nothing but keep moving forward. How this man had given his life, and he had seen things and done things that we might have freedom. And he said, that flag that used to fly in front of my house that you took, young man, was the very thing that represented the lives and the honor of this great country and the very freedom. He said, when you took that, you disrespected me, you disrespected God, and you disrespected this country. He said, for me, that means everything. I sat in that chair, and I felt horrible. But for the first time in my life, I realized what that meant to him. And honor was spoken into my life. There is not a national anthem that goes by where I don't stand with honor. And I think about those stripes that represent the blood of men and women. I think about those stars. I think about the ramparts. When men and women, and by the way, the rampart was so great in that battle when Francis Key wrote those words. When he wrote those words, I don't know if you know, but as people were being bombed in that fort, they were holding that flag and that rampart that held that flag up. The bodies, he said, were piled so deep. And as people were dying and being blown up to hold that flag, others would climb on top of those bodies and hold that flag. It was literally a rampart of human bodies saying, this represents and honors, this is who we are. And on that day, I realized that this gentleman who had fought for my freedom and given his life. And so no wonder why honor means so much to me when I see a soldier. No wonder why honor means so much when I tell my children, honor those around you. And no wonder why my son signed up to go into the United States Army and leave in January and be in Iraq in 18 months. And people said, you don't have to go. His commander says, you have that option to not go. And he says, no, I want to go. I want to serve. I am honored to serve you, that you might have freedom. And no wonder why when God said, I send you my son, and he said, you don't have to go. He says, I want to go. Why? So that you might have freedom in your life. So I honor the King of Kings. If a king walked in here, would you bow down? If the Queen of England came in, ladies, would you curtsy? If the President of the United States came in, would you at least pay the honor and respect? How would you respond if a president or a king walked into the room? A king has walked into this room. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bible says on his sash, when he comes back, will be written on him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will come riding on a white horse, and trumpets will sound. And the Bible says, when we gather together, that he is here in our midst. And so what do you do for a king? Would you honor him? Would you take a place to honor the King of Kings? And I say to you, the King is here. And because he is my king, I honor you. Because you are my guest. You are the guest here at Grace. And my children, and children, honor your mother and father means this. Honor everyone. And that will honor your parents. Because everyone will say, what fine kids those are. Because you honor. And that honor comes back. Let's stand and pray.